You are now listening to the iScript of Veil of Blood. Fade in. Exterior, entrance, Bellevue Plantation, night. A horse-drawn carriage pulls off a dirt road and passes through an iron gateway. The arched top of the gates spells out Bellevue in rusted, cursive lettering. The two black horses clomp their way down a long alley lined with oak trees. Spanish moss hangs from the gnarled branches like wild locks of hair clutched in bony fingers. Super. Avoye Parish, Louisiana, 1874. Interior, carriage, night. Coralie Gravois, 17, wears a lovely Polonaise dress over her shapely, corseted figure. Her long blonde hair is swept up into a knot, embellished with a fanciful red bow. She glances out the window. The pale moonlight reveals the miserable condition of the plantation. Overgrown weeds choke what were once lush, rolling lawns. Withered stalks of sugarcane stand like grave markers in neglected fields. Exterior, mansion, night. The carriage pulls up to the huge Greek Revival plantation house. Its soaring white columns seem to groan under the weight of the massive gabled roof. Paint peels from the walls. Except for a flickering gaslight on the portico, the house rests in darkness. The carriage driver, a grim-faced sort, removes a trunk from the roof and hops down to the dusty earth. He opens the door for Coralie but doesn't offer his hand. She steps down, gazes at the sad state of the mansion. Coralie.
Bellevue, indeed.
With a snap from the reins, the driver leads the carriage away. Coralie stands alone with her trunk. She grabs the handle of the large trunk and drags it up the portico steps. Her thin arms struggle with the weight. She sees a small bell fastened next to the thick, weathered oak doors. She rings it 3 times. Coralie watches as a light appears within the foyer. The doors creak open. Robert, 48, a black man dressed in a threadbare butler's tuxedo, holds a gas lantern. Robert.
Yes?
Coralie.
I'm Coralie Gravois. My uncle is expecting me.
Robert stares for several moments as if contemplating whether to grant her entry. Robert.
Of course, Miss Coralie.
Please come in.
Coralie walks into the foyer. Robert grabs her trunk, then shuts the front door. Interior, foyer, night. Marbled floors lead to a grand sweeping staircase. A crystal chandelier hangs from the vaulted ceiling. Exquisite Baroque paintings line the walls. But a musty staleness pervades everything, a house cloaked in shadows of former glory. Louis off screen.
Robert!
The booming voice causes both Robert and Coralie to whip their heads to the top of the stairway. A dark figure stands there. Louis.
I thought I told you to light the house.
Robert.
Yes, sir, Mr. Lewis, you did, sir. I apologize, sir. I'll commence with that now, sir.
Lewis.
And prepare a meal for my niece and I.
Robert.
Right away, Mr. Lewis.
Robert lights another lantern in the foyer before he scurries out of the room. The figure at the top of the stairway slowly descends, finally emerging from the darkness. Louis Gravois, dressed in the finery of a southern dandy, opens his arms as he walks toward Coralie. They embrace. Louis.
How was your trip, my dear?
Coralie.
I apologize for the late hour, uncle. I had to change coaches more than once. Some of these drivers seem to run on their own schedule.
Louis laughs as he wraps an arm around Coralie and leads her to a connecting hallway. Louis.
Yes, I'm afraid things tend to move with somewhat less rapidity here than in New Orleans.
Interior, dining hall, night. Louis sits at the head of a long maple table. Coralie sits next to him. They dine on duck and wild rice. Louis prepares her some wine. Coralie.
My parents send their regards and their regrets. Father's business in Savannah was unavoidable, and Mother absolutely insisted she tag along with him. I do believe she had a desire to rub shoulders with Georgia society.
Louis chuckles as he drinks his wine.
It matters not, my dear. You are by far the most enchanting member of our clan.
Coralie blushes, smiles. Robert walks into the room and pours Louis more wine.
Louis. Thank you, Robert.
Robert bows his head and leaves the room.
A loyal one, that Robert. The only loyal one.
Louis's face darkens.
They all left except for him. All my workers, not long after the war. That damnable war.
I don't understand, Uncle. Have you not been able to find replacements for the Negroes?
They didn't just leave the plantation, Coralie. They salted the very ground.
His words carry such simmering vitriol that Coralie quickly averts her eyes.
Nothing grows in these fields now. I've tried everything possible.
He downs his wine in one gulp.
Everything humanly possible.
Lewis looks to a framed portrait on the wall. In the painting, Lewis sits in a chair as Daphne Gravois, a stunning beauty, stands behind him, a delicate hand on his shoulder.
All those years of despair. My poor Daphne. The doctors told me it was consumption that took her. But no, she'd grown melancholy long before. It was the collapse of Bellevue, I tell you. She loved this land, it was her soul.
Coralie meekly runs a fork through her rice. I'm sorry for your misfortunes, Uncle Lewis. Lewis's face lightens. He smiles at his niece.
Your mere presence has brought more cheer than this place has known in years. Forgive my outburst. This is a time for merriment.
He raises his glass. Coralie does the same.
To your visitation, my dear. May it brighten this house and all who dwell within it.
They clink their crystal goblets and drink. Interior bedroom night. Coralie opens the lid of her trunk. She reaches in, grabs a dress, then walks to a beautifully crafted mahogany wardrobe and hangs it. When she turns back to the trunk, the lid is closed. Coralie stares at the trunk, thinks about it, then shakes her head. She lifts the lid, removes a camisole, and walks to the wardrobe. When she turns, the lid rests shut. Her breath quickens. A standing cheval mirror slowly spins on its axis, creaking as it turns until it faces the opposite direction. Coralie screams and runs from the room. Interior hallway, night. She runs down the candlelit corridor. Lewis bounds from the master bedroom, runs to her, and holds her by her shoulders.
What's wrong?
My bedroom! Things were moving! The trunk! The looking glass! Lewis strides to her bedroom. Interior bedroom, night. Lewis walks in, looks around. Coralie sidles in behind him. Lewis walks to the mirror, which now faces the proper direction.
It turned! I swear it!
Lewis gently touches the top of the mirror, causing it to move.
See that, Coralie? Even a draft could make this spin.
And the trunk, it— They both look to the trunk. The lid stands open.
Uncle, I promise you it—
Lewis holds her tightly.
Now, now, Cher. You've had a long trip. The eyes and mind fall prey to fatigue. All you need is rest.
He kisses the top of her head.
Dream well. We have quite a day ahead of us.
He smiles, leaves the room, and closes the door. Coralie looks around the room uneasily. Later, Coralie lies under the covers within the darkened room. Her eyes dart to every corner. She lifts the sheet over her face. Exterior gardens, day. Coralie strolls through the maze-like gardens, a network of stone paths leading through wildly overgrown vegetation. She stops, bends over, and sniffs a crape myrtle. She smiles, then runs her fingers over a magnolia flower and picks it. She walks with the flower and approaches a decrepit fountain. Coralie gazes into the shallow, fetid water. She tosses the magnolia into the fountain and watches as algae envelops it. A rush of wind. Coralie looks up in time to see the train of a flowing white dress disappear behind a nearby hedge. She runs to the hedge, turns the corner, but sees nothing. A gust of wind from behind her. Female voice, voiceover.
Run.
Coralie bolts through the pathways, wide-eyed and gasping. Exterior, mansion, day. Breathless, Coralie runs from the gardens and steadies herself against the side wall of the mansion. Her pale, shaking hands cover her mouth. The sound of an approaching carriage makes her peek around the corner. Two horses pull a coach to the front of the house. Coralie watches through the shrubbery as Brother Ottavio, 45, steps out of the carriage. He wears a brown hooded monk's robe. He regards the house for a moment, then turns his fierce gaze directly at Coralie. Even through a tangle of bushes and trees, his eyes lock onto hers. She gasps and hides behind the wall. After a few moments, she turns back to see Lewis shaking hands with Ottavio. Robert grabs Ottavio's bags, and the three men head into the house. Interior bedroom, night. Coralie stands before the mirror, fixes the collar of her beautiful dress. Behind her, the wardrobe door creaks open. She freezes, slowly turns around. A knock at the room door. Coralie nearly jumps out of her skin. She runs to the door to see Robert standing there. Robert.
Dinner is served, Miss Coralie.
She looks back to the wardrobe, then exhales deeply and gathers herself. Robert, who was that man who arrived today?
Don't rightly know, ma'am. Clergyman, by the looks.
Very well, Robert, thank you. He nods to her, then maintains eye contact for a few moments. His face carries a certain sadness. He turns and walks away. Interior, first floor hallway, night. Coralie pauses outside the dining hall. She hears Lewis and another man conversing in a foreign language. Interior, dining hall, night. Coralie enters. Lewis stands. Brother Ottavio, still dressed in his robe, remains seated. Lewis.
My dear, you look ravishing. Allow me to introduce a friend. This is Brother Ottavio. He comes to us all the way from Italy.
Coralie walks to her seat at the table and nods to Ottavio. The greeting is not reciprocated. How was your journey, brother?
Lewis. Oh, forgive me, Cher. Ottavio speaks only Italian and Latin. Luckily, I still retain a certain fluency in Latin from my school days.
Coralie sits down, followed by Lewis. She sips her wine. What order is he from?
Oh, he was a Benedictine.
Was?
You might say he worships in a new church now. I heard of him through my European contacts.
Coralie takes another sip of her wine. Ottavio watches her with dark, hawk-like eyes.
You see, he's come to restore Bellevue, to return it to splendor.
Coralie rubs her eyes, sets down her wine glass.
But how, uncle?
You said the fields were salted. How could— Her head sways, her eyelids droop.
When all earthly attempts fail, one must look elsewhere.
Coralie slumps on the table, unconscious. Interior, basement, night. Six candles provide flickering light which sends shadows dancing on the walls of the dim basement. Coralie sits in a large wooden chair that rests on the dirt floor. She wears a beautiful white wedding dress, complete with a veil which obscures her face. She remains unconscious. Lewis, Ottavio, and Robert stand before her. An inverted cross hangs from Ottavio's neck. Ottavio picks up a wooden bucket that lays on the ground next to him. He nods to Lewis. Lewis turns to Robert.
Robert, your loyalty will never be forgotten.
With that, Lewis removes a long dagger from his jacket pocket and stabs Robert in the throat. Robert sinks to his knees as blood erupts from the severed artery. Ottavio quickly moves in front of Robert and positions the bucket to capture the blood. Robert's eyes focus on Lewis as the last spurts shoot from his wound. He falls to the dirt. Coralie stirs awake. She tries to get to her feet, but stumbles. Lewis lifts her up.
Please behave, mon cher.
She tries to pull the veil from her face.
What? What is—
Daphne's wedding gown. It flatters you.
Ottavio pulls his hood forward, hiding his face. Ottavio.
Or potet sanguinem effunder.
Lewis forces Coralie to her knees, then holds her face tightly. Ottavio pours the bucket of blood over the veil. Coralie gags, fights it, but Lewis is too strong. The blood spills through the veil and coats the wedding dress. Lewis kneels next to her, bows his head as Ottavio raises his hands over them.
Que quidem unio in nomine tuo infernali Satan consecrate.
Lewis turns to her and smiles.
Now we are married.
In the eyes of Satan.
Coralie coughs, spits out blood.
Why, uncle?
Because God refused my pleas to save Daphne and Bellevue. God watched me rot. Now Satan grants me power.
Coralie struggles to remove her veil. Lewis pins her to the ground.
You're mad! You're mad!
No, my love. Ottavio performs miracles. He's done it before. All he asks is a small price for his master.
Coralie squirms against his weight.
The soul of my virgin bride.
Lewis picks up the dagger from the dirt.
No! No!
She claws Lewis across the face and grabs for the knife. He turns to Ottavio.
Tene etiam!
Ottavio kneels over Coralie's head, holds down her wrists. Lewis raises the dagger with both hands, grins fiendishly. The basement door slams with thunderous force. A breeze blows through the dank room. The candles nearly die. Lewis looks around, startled. The dagger flies from his hand and skitters across the dirt. Ottavio.
Quid agatur?
Lewis shakes his head, looks around the basement.
Ottavio pulls back his hood. Coraline rolls away from them. The inverted cross around Ottavio's neck rips free and flies across the room.
Spiritus!
Ottavio runs for the door. An unseen force pins him down. Three candles float in the air, then drop onto his back. His wool robe ignites, and within moments he's a screaming torch. He gets to his feet and runs for the door, but drops in a fiery heap on the wooden stairway. A blast of wind blows from behind Caroline. Female voice, voiceover.
Run, child!
Coralie gets to her feet and runs up the flaming stairway. Louis peers into a dark corner as he sees a vaporous shape forming. It coalesces into a human figure. Though opaque and shifting, a woman's face can be seen. Daphne's beautiful features shine through. Louis opens his arms, staggers toward her as flames consume the basement.
Daphne, I did it for you! I did it for you!
The shape vanishes as Louis tries to wrap his arms around it. A flaming beam drops from the ceiling and crushes him. Exterior mansion, night. Coralie runs screaming from the mansion, her face still obscured by the bloody veil. Exterior, entrance, Bellevue, night. Coralie races down the oak allée, shrieking into the night. Behind her, the mansion burns. She gasps for breath, drops to her knees as she reaches the gates. She makes it to her feet. The blood-soaked bride stumbles down the dirt road, disappearing into the darkness. The rusty iron gates of Bellevue close, creaking together as they shut. Fade out. The end. You have been listening to the iScript of Veil of Blood. Feel free to visit us at www.iscript.com.